Welcome to the podcast, From Crisis to Connection. I'm Jeff Stewart, licensed marriage and family therapist, and I'll be bringing the professional perspective.
I'm Jody Stewart, unlicensed wife, mother, daughter, sister, friend, and neighbor, and I'll be bringing the regular, everyday perspective.
We are all about relationship recovery, and we'll tackle tough topics like infidelity, abuse, addiction, pornography, and betrayal trauma.
We also focus on helping you build stronger connections in your most important relationships. So thanks for joining us. We're glad you're here.
Welcome back, everyone. In the previous episode, I talked with the recovering partner and gave them some resources and tips and ideas, and really just a pep talk on how they can show up in a healthy way post-disclosure, regardless of whether or not the disclosure was something that was discovered or they went through the full therapeutic disclosure process. The recovering partner has a huge responsibility to not only bring the truth, but to also provide a level of safety and healing in the aftermath of a disclosure. The way that they respond can make such a huge difference and create so much healing for the relationship and certainly for themselves, but also for their partner. Today, I'm going to switch the focus and talk to the betrayed partner. I want the betrayed partner, who's the one receiving the full disclosure or has discovered something, whatever type of disclosure they're having, for them to recognize that their response in the aftermath of this is also important. The first thing I'll say about this, of course, is that a lot of betrayed partners can be hard on themselves about how they respond in the aftermath of this discovery, and especially in the aftermath of the initial discovery. Like I said in the previous episode, that initial discovery can happen lots of different ways. They can sense something's off and ask questions and then end up discovering something. They can just stumble onto something when they're totally unsuspecting. They can have their partner come to them and reveal something that's going on. There's lots of ways it can happen. And really, almost any way that it happens, it's going to be very traumatic. And the response that they have in the aftermath of that oftentimes is going to reflect the level of trauma, not only of what they're hearing and maybe how it's come out or what's involved in it, but also it will be influenced heavily by other previous traumas they've had. Maybe this isn't their first time having a disclosure or a discovery with this partner or with a previous family member, a parent or another romantic partner. There can be lots of previous traumas that can really make this a more difficult experience for them. And so I have tremendous compassion for betrayed partners in the aftermath of disclosure. A lot of their responses, sometimes they black out or they dissociate or they just numb out or they don't even realize what they're doing or saying. And then they have sometimes regrets about what they said or did. Sometimes they respond really strongly and do things that they regret and feel like they have to now be apologetic or clean up that mess. And it can be really difficult. It's just a terribly vulnerable position. And I have a lot of compassion and sympathy for how difficult this is for anyone who's been revealed something that's crossing lines and breaking trust. Regardless of how they respond, I do want you to know as a betrayed partner, I'm speaking to you now, that learning and getting educated and understanding just what are some of your options in the aftermath of a disclosure, that can be really helpful and help you reclaim back your voice, your power, your ability to choose, and your ability to direct your own life. One of the toughest things about trauma, of course, is the powerlessness, the loss of choice, to not be able to consent to something. And when you know that you have the ability to start directing and choosing and shaping your own life, it really does open up a lot of healing for you. It's not a quick process. I'm sure you know that by now. But it is important to know what steps you can start taking. So I identified a few areas in thinking about the post-disclosure process for a betrayed partner. What are some important points to consider? What are some things that I would do to encourage someone who's just heard something that they never expected to hear or that they were dreading hearing? The first thing I would say is that whatever happened in the disclosure is not your fault. If I've said that once, I've said that a million times. It's so easy to personalize what you hear in the disclosure. And maybe you hear things that you've been blamed for by your recovering partner. Maybe they've said to you in the past that these things were your fault or variations of these things were your responsibility. But any lines that are crossed like this are absolutely not your fault. People need to know that they have choices and that your partner chose these things. And so you're on the receiving end of it, which means that there's nothing you can do to make them stop doing it or make them start doing it. I hope you can be compassionate and gentle on yourself as you hear what you hear, that you can recognize that this isn't something that you started or created. The next thing I want to say is that you don't have to make a decision about what you've heard. Now, there might be some initial decisions you need to make that involve safety of yourself or other people. There might need to be some things put in place, some boundaries or limits that are maybe possibly temporary, but certainly acute. But in terms of rushing to make big decisions about staying together, living together, what to talk about, all those other kinds of decisions that can feel so urgent in that moment, ultimately don't have to be made in the direct aftermath of a disclosure. You can have time. You can take as much time as you need to think through and determine what you need to do. It's really difficult to get into our logical, wise brain in the aftermath of trauma. We don't ask a lot of people after car accidents or even major surgeries or someone who's grieving the death of their spouse or a loved one. We understand culturally in an implicit, unspoken way that the bereaved and those who are grieving need time and space so that they can really reclaim their own hearts and their thinking and their brains and just get back on their feet. It's such a destabilizing and disorienting time when you're dealing with trauma and grief. I hope you'll give yourself that same space and recognize that if people are trying to hurry you to make a decision, and I'm not talking about safety decisions, you're in imminent danger. I'm talking about, what do I do with this? Where do I go with this? It's okay for you to take your time. It's okay for you to not feel rushed. It's okay for you to ask for that space. The next thing I would say is it's also okay for you to ask questions post-disclosure. Sometimes there can be a lot of pressure. And this, I've seen this therapist do this. I've seen, of course, a recovering partner do this, or even I've seen church leaders do it and family members just say, okay, this chapter's closed. We're not going to talk about this anymore. So don't bring anything else up. We're not going to keep talking about this. No more questions. Basically, your chance to ask questions, that's expired. I don't think that's right. I believe that if you have a question 5 years post-disclosure that you want to clarify something, you have a right to know that. I don't think it's possible or even right or ethical to tell someone that they don't have a right to understand their own story. And when you are married to someone or in a committed relationship with someone, and there have been agreements that you guys will be united and you'll be one and you'll share your lives with each other, and especially in the sexual realm, that the relationship is going to be the container for your sexual energy. And when those things leak out or get spread out, or there's secrets or broken promises and trust, that's all information that you're entitled to know. And if you have questions post-disclosure, it's okay for you to ask those. Now, there are certainly benefits to trying to structure this and having a plan or not ambushing your recovering partner with questions whenever you think about them. I think it's wise to slow the process down and take your time, but the right to ask questions, I think, absolutely matters. Another thing I would encourage you in the aftermath of disclosure, something I want to just validate, is that you don't have to be isolated. You don't have to just hear this and hold it alone. I think that's one of the most difficult experiences, is to go through something awful in isolation. I think most of us can recognize that going through something difficult with another person in a way doesn't feel as difficult, because we're pair bonders, we're humans, and we bond and connect to those we love. And they are a source of comfort and security, and they help us keep our emotional balance. And as scary as the dragon per se would be, it's a lot less scary when we have someone to be there with us. Disclosure is no different. I hope that in the aftermath of disclosure that you have given yourself permission to talk openly with your support system about this. You get to decide how much detail you want to share. Everybody's case is different. But just because something happened to you doesn't mean that you're now unable to speak about it. In fact, journaling, speaking, opening up, talking through it is, in a lot of ways, as humans, how we organize and make sense of our own experiences. And why wouldn't you have the opportunity or necessity to do something like that. The aftermath of an initial disclosure, of course, is a D-Day, Discovery Day. Of course, that's going to be very chaotic. I don't know very many situations where it hasn't been chaotic. The aftermath of full therapeutic disclosure varies. Sometimes it's just quiet and calm, and there's nothing really new or earth-shattering that comes out, but it's just organized and it's honest and it's just really integrated, if you will, into the marital story. And then there's sometimes where the betrayed partner is listening to a disclosure and they have no idea what's coming. They don't expect any of it. Those experiences, of course, are very destabilizing and very chaotic. I hope you'll be gentle with yourself and surround yourself with the support that you need. Be prepared to ask the questions that you need. Slow yourself down so you don't have to make any big decisions. Allow yourself to have the time and space to get the emotional and physical stability that you deserve in the aftermath of something so destabilizing and disorganizing. And I'll also say this part. You don't have to receive a disclosure. You don't have to hear a disclosure. It's not something that is mandatory for your life. You may decide that you don't want to hear some or all of your partner's story. Of course, the majority of people that have been betrayed want to know what happened to them or what they don't know. But they may be very careful about the details that they want to hear. Work closely and carefully with someone who's trained in facilitating disclosures so that you can decide if you even want to do one. And then if you do, what you want to hear and receive in it. I wish it were possible for me to look each one of you in the eyes and just reassure you that you're not crazy and this isn't your fault, and that receiving a disclosure is something that you will absolutely get through. You will be able to handle it. It will not be the end of you. Armed with the truth, armed with whatever information you hear, you'll be able to make informed decisions. You'll now be able to fully consent and be a full participant in your own life. If your partner who's recovering refuses to tell you the full truth, fights the process, drops out of the process, doesn't want to do it at all, please recognize that you still can heal. Because not doing a disclosure, the unwillingness to share the truth, that is actually the disclosure. And then you can use that information to make the decisions you need to. I hope this has been helpful for you. I wanted to offer support to both the recovering partner and the betrayed partner in the disclosure process. This is not an easy time. It's a heavy subject. It's not something that every couple is going to do the exact same way, but there are some key principles we know that really make a difference before, during, and after the disclosure process. Thank you for listening every single week. It's a real honor and privilege to be here with you talking about these really important but challenging subjects. And if you want to support the podcast, we'd love for you to leave a rating and a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Go check out the online courses that I have available on my website. These are the things that support this podcast, keep it free, and allow you to receive this life-changing information. We're grateful for you. We love hearing from you. Have a great week, and we'll catch you in the next episode.